When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Chicago, are you ready?
Quit yelling.
The Bergstein and Harris Show, middays 10 till 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
You will hit a wall, hit a wall, hit a wall, hit a wall.
The wall?
The wall.
The wall?
Wall to wall, brother.
You're breaking the wall!
This wall.
The wall.
I shouldn't have to tell you about the solid wall of sound. You should know it by now. It means it is the day before a Bears game or a Bears weekend, usually on a Friday, when Adam Studzinski will put together our week's worth of the best of our Bears and NFL experts to prepare you for said game. And it's easier to enjoy it when it is backed by turgid music. On Monday,
that's the stuff.
Anthony Herron joined us, and I guess you can call this ranting about the state of the Bears offense.
What would be great is if you got to an early stretch of the game and they called consecutive run plays. And, you know, consecutive run plays, if one goes for three and one goes for four and then you're at third and short, it's not an exciting beginning to the game, but it takes the load off of your quarterback and your offensive line. Like the reason the second half for the pass protection looks worse than the first is because that erodes throughout the initial couple of quarters of the game. When the opponent knows they've got a bead on you, when they know the pocket is stagnant and stationary, when they know you're not committed to finding success. Maybe you don't immediately or initially have success on the ground, but are you searching for success with the ground attack? And sometimes that takes sort of a stubborn determination to continue to ram your head against that wall. And if you haven't become excellent in throwing the football, and if you don't have an experienced quarterback who can dissect defenses from the pocket, then that stubborn determination to find a run game, it aids your offensive line, because a 3-yard game becomes a 5-yard game. A 5-yard game becomes a 12-yard game. And that's what the opponents are beginning to do to the Bears, because they're not trying to put the weight of the world on their quarterback shoulders. They're just trying to outlast you. And right now, every opponent who's facing the Bears is proving that they can outlast them in the fourth quarter.
If the Bears even, like, I thought they were close after all the intervention that was held after the speed option play against the Colts. Okay, right, well, we got to stop screwing around when it comes
they
to that.
They were close. We shouldn't assume that that didn't exist, because it's so drastically different now. It's damning because of how drastically different it is now.
But they had
Were close.
Yeah, they were running power. They had guys coming around, and they were with intent, and it just stopped.
It stopped. It should not have stopped, and for some inexplicable reason, it has halted. That approach to the Bears offense has now gone the way of the dodo bird. It does not make any sense.
That was Anthony Herron, and then we know what happened later. On Tuesday, Patrick Manley told us what he thinks Thomas Brown can get done in his first week as offensive coordinator.
I think the first thing he needs to do is take that playbook and rip pages out of there that he does not like. And then secondly, he has to sit down with DJ, Keenan, DeAndre, and Caleb, and Cole, and whoever else, and say, what pages do you want out of here? And then start from there. I really do think you got to talk to the players, because I was wondering what the disconnect was. DJ, whenever he talked in kind of circles and around some issues that were going on. And I was questioning, I had a question on the pre- and post-game show this past weekend, is he having a little issue with Caleb, or is it more with Shane Waldron? And if it is Shane, then Thomas Brown needs to go to him and say, what's wrong? What do you see? You know, what can we do? We coached together before. We've got a relationship. What can I do to help this offense for you guys? And then the next thing I'm doing, I'm going to Coach Morgan and saying, hey, you're in charge of all runs. I have nothing to say. I'll just call runs when we need a run. But you're in charge of the entire run game. What do you need? What do you want? Let's go from there.
And also on Tuesday, Bears linebacker T.J. Edwards had some praise for Thomas Brown based on his previous experience with him.
Actually, my freshman year at Wisconsin, he was a running backs coach when I showed up. So he had, you know, Melvin Gordon and all those things. So along with Coach Beattie as well, the receivers coach. So it's kind of crazy when I came in here this year to see those guys and just haven't seen them for a while. It's awesome to see. And going against Coach Brown last year in Carolina and things like that, I know dude is just an absolute workhorse. I mean, he's a hands-on guy who wants to see everything that the players are seeing. And a guy who truly loves what he does, and I know that he's going to bring some juice. I do. I know he's going to bring some energy, and I'm excited to see it. I am excited to see kind of where we go, but I know that it's never just one thing.
Also on Tuesday, Tim Jenkins had some ideas on how Brown can adjust the offense early on.
Week one, I think you've got three actionables, right? You can integrate more boot, which I think just we've seen that decrease, right? If you think about one of the bigger plays that we had on Sunday, it's using Rome, what we call a slider, where he starts on one side of the formation, he's behind the line of scrimmage, gets all the way to the other where we're booting to, and it was wide open. You flipped it to him and he gained 15 yards. Like, to me, utilizing more boot, I would love us to dress up our boot. Like, I'd like to pull a guard as we're booting, so pull a guard towards the run fake and then boot opposite, right? Those are the kind of things I'd like to see. I think you get more commitment. I'd really love to see more run and play action slow screen. So we haven't seen a ton of halfback screen or tight end screen. What I really like is instead of just a straight drop back to the screen, I love seeing true like run action or play action. Then it looks like we're taking the deep shot. Never mind, we're back to the screen. So I would love to see that. That's actionable right away. And then just a true, like real traditional run action. Let's take the roof off the defense shot plays. I think those three things are actionable right away. What I'd like to see over the course of the next 2 or 3 weeks is we're seeing Caleb kind of not tie his feet to his progressions or not tie his feet to the play concept as much. Like, we call them free drops, like more where you see a quarterback kind of taking a drop that doesn't necessarily tie to a progression, more just, hey, what maybe he's comfortable with. I'd like to see him tie his feet to that more. And then obviously I'd like to see some more hot and sight adjustments. Like, I think we're getting teed off on too much when teams are in cover zero or cover one and they're heating us up. And it's not necessarily, we're losing one-on-one line matchups. There's no doubt in my mind that that's an issue. But we also have a lot of times where it's like, you know, structurally, we're not set up to protect this certain blitz look. But, you know, you have DJ Moore or Keenan Allen, and they're not breaking off hot. So you have to imagine those guys understand protections at this point in their career. So it's not necessarily a Caleb thing or a receiver thing. It's more just, hey, how are we structured to have answers for protections? So those are the two things that I'd like to see long term get corrected that I think you can correct over the course of 2 or 3 weeks. But the idea that that'll be fixed by Sunday, probably not. But those other three we definitely could have ready for Sunday.
One thing Tim Jenkins is learning is that Bears football eventually makes you crazy. And you will hear a man continue to descend into Bears madness.
I'm not going to lie. I've never really listened to his press conference. Yesterday I listened to it because I'm like, oh, I wonder what he's going to say. I don't know how you guys do it. Like, anyone who sits in that room and listens to him talk, I don't know how they do it, because I would just be like, what are you? You know, and he said, there's been times on film where we played complimentary football. I'm like, dog, this is awful. The locker room. Yeah, I don't know how he's surviving, to be honest with you, because I've been around enough NFL guys. You guys know young guys in general tend to say whatever the hell's on their mind. Young guys with some dough really tend to tell you what they think. I don't know how he's surviving the locker room right now. He's probably not, right?
Which by is why a thread, we're... Tim. By a thread.
Yeah, I don't think he is.
Yeah, by a thread.
I'm still laughing at the caption. Jenkins continued his descent into Bears madness.
I'm just
isn't
reading...
sure how we do it all the time.
Well, I mean, how else would you caption that?
you did a little bit better, but it's just a really funny thing to read.
I didn't write it.
One guy who isn't in Bears madness, because he's probably been there already in his life, Mike Golic, took us inside the life of a player who sees a coach they think is going to be fired.
When a coach is on the hot seat, and Matt Eberflus is on the hot seat, there's no doubt about it. If there are a couple of more losses that go on, what happens in the locker room is players start to go into self-preservation mode. What can I do to make sure I'm still on this team or still in the league? And they start to look past the head coach when he's talking because they realize that coach is probably not going to be there next year, so that's not who they have to really work for anymore. So that's the fear if the season gets away from the Bears a little more. Players are smart. Even coaches
are already there.
We're already on the wall.
Mike, we're already there.
Who's that idiot? Tell him to shut up. And then on Thursday, we had a fascinating conversation with the character that is a Hall of Famer and Lambeau Leap inventor, the former Packer great Leroy Butler. And he explained the idea behind wanting a quarterback to be a game manager.
Let's come back a little bit. Okay, we're not going to throw the ball 30, 40 times. You got to throw 18 to 25 times to run the football if you're in the North. We play outdoors. You can't throw the ball all the time like that.
No, I agree with you.
Have to manage. I love that we disagree on this.
No, I agree with that. Dan and I are having a disagreement, and I'm siding with you right now because I do think that Caleb Williams needs to be more of a game manager in that the play caller needs to call a game that is more run-based because a rookie quarterback's best friend is still the running game, right?
You're preaching now. You're preaching.
Oh, yes. Okay. Well, let me step back in my pulpit and loosen up my tie a little bit and go further with this. My thing with Caleb Williams is, and you talked about you might get a coaching bump, if a coach isn't doing what you just described, calling plays in a sequence that makes sense as far as running the football consistently and giving up if one run doesn't go as far, and now you're back to dropping back two and three times in a row, you're doing a disservice to your rookie quarterback, correct?
Yes and no.
Okay, go give it to me.
One, two, three, back to one, it ain't there, run, or go to your check down. Check down your friend. The West Coast-style offense was built to have five eligible players. I don't care how good your offensive line is. I got to get that ball out of 1 to 2.5 seconds. And that during the week, you build that in the game plan. And that clock has to go off. That, yes, both tackles are missing. Read the room. Get the ball out. If not, don't turn it over or run. He's a great athlete. But I suspect, and I don't know this, he had a lot of people talking to him. You got receivers that always want the ball. You got the fans saying stuff. His family is saying stuff. And you got the coordinator because he's probably depressed. I got the coordinator fired. No, he didn't. You have to realize and read the room. You're not in USC. We don't just throw it around like that. In this division, we manage games. And I'm going to tell you something.
You played with Brett Favre.
So you can manage the game. Exactly. Who leads the entire NFL in interceptions.
I know, but he's right. That's what I'm saying. Like you played with – we won a Super Bowl with Brett Favre. He's not a game manager. He's a gunslinger.
With the number one defense.
My guy, I told you.
I was waiting for the end of that. The thrilling conclusion.
I told you he was a thing.
Don't the Bears also have a good defense? Anyway, Jarrett Payton said he didn't have much faith in Shane Waldron when he was hired.
I think it was just because of the conversations that I had with people before he got here that put those sirens kind of blaring in my head. So I didn't have a lot of faith there, but I was willing to give it a chance. But also, too, I think the lack of offensive line depth and how the offensive line was structured gave me a lot of question marks as well. And there was at times where I was getting ready to do the show and knew that we were talking about Caleb before the season started, and I was just going to be like, I didn't feel comfortable, and I didn't want to say it, but I was like, just sit him. I didn't feel like there was enough around him for him to be successful. I know you can go get the offensive players, you can go get Keenan Allen, you can go get Swift, you got DJ Moore, I get all that, but it just seemed like I had a lot of question marks with the offensive play caller and also the offensive line, and I feel like the cycle that we keep talking about, that's a part of the cycle with the quarterbacks here in Chicago. It's that we're starting them right away and they don't get an opportunity, no matter how good they are, they don't get an opportunity to learn.
That is another exquisitely constructed solid wall of sound.
Was he trying to talk about Tyson Bagent there? Did he try to sneak that in?
I don't know that I thought it at the time.
If I dip a cheese curd in cheese, is that cannibalism?
That's a great question. Because the concept of dipping a Wisconsin cheese curd in more Wisconsin cheese, I don't know. I can't define that.
I'm sorry I'm late to break, Ray. I just need to know the answer to this question.
It's a philosophical question that you're presenting very late in the show when we're drunk on encased meats and fried cheeses.
Just how I want to be.
And in some cases, drunk on, like, alcohol. Because fireball.
Come get him, baby.
That's for after the rally house tomorrow.
Rally house. Did you read the promo?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I should read it again.
Okay, when we come back, because we got to hear Mike Tyson gets very, very, very dark in a pre-fight interview.
Oh, good. More philosophical questions.